Lecture topic, Bridging the Gap Between Parents and Children, Part 2.
So everybody was now, you know, valuing the date palm, 1,000 dirham. فَعَمَدَ أُسَامَةُ إِلَى النَّخْلَةِ Usama radiallahu anhu goes and he plucks the dates. So people said, مَا يَحْمِلُكَ عَلَى هَذَا وَأَنْتَ تَرَى النَّخْلَةَ قَدْ بَلَغَتْ أَلْفَ دِرْهَمْ Usama, you can always eat afterwards. Leave the date palm as it stands. You'll take 1,000 dirhams per tree. You know, you can just stall your desire to eat later. What an answer he gave. It gave a shiver in my back. He said, إِنَّ أُمِّي سَأَلَتْنِيهِ الْآنِ وَلَا تَسْأَلُنِي شَيْئًا إِلَّا أَعْطَيْتُهَا إِيَّا My mother asked me for a date now. My brother to give my mother what she wants, when she wants, how she wants, is more valuable for me than 100,000 dinars. I say to you, it's your peak season, my brother. And the shop is brimming. And everybody is in front and your mother is on the line. Either you display the courtesy of business ethics and you secure that customer and make that deal and lose that dua. Or you tell that customer, you want to wait? My mom is on the line. You want to wait? By all means, you want to walk? It's your choice. In her gradual, soft pace, she's going to start off slowly. Bye, how are you? How's the wife? How's the children? But then a dua will come out. That dua won't make the deal for the day. That dua will rescue your progeny till Qiyamah. That dua will rescue your progeny till Qiyamah. I'm not saying this on theory. Allah be my witness, I'm a humble student. Often my mom has said, and this is tears in my eyes, may Allah reward her and bless her and my parents and all our parents. At times, I've got a program and Allah gives me an opportunity to do some humble service for her. And then she says, boy, you will sit on that mimbar and Allah will make you speak things you've never read or heard. That's my dua and you'll see it. There's a tear in my eye, Allah be my witness. I have repeatedly seen it. What did Usama say? You telling me 1,000 dirhams? You know, one brother one day came crying to me. He said, Maulana, I had my parents, I didn't have money. My parents are gone, I have the money. What do I do with it? One brother one day came crying. He said, my father one day asked me for a 50 rand and I refused him. Today Allah has given me hundreds of thousands, but that pain still pierces my heart. It pierces my heart. My dad asked me for a lousy 50 rand. And at that time I had this commitment and that commitment. Usama said, radiallahu anhu, my mom asked me, forget the 1,000 dirhams and the dinars, to give my mother what she wants, when she wants, that is greater for me than hundreds of thousands of dinars. So we call upon the youth. We beg the youth, may Allah convey my sentiments to the youth wherever they are. Come back to your parents. Take their du'as. Take their du'as. You will only see happiness, prosperity in your dunya and your akhirat. There are so many ahadith in this regard. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, in a dream I was shown that I'm in Jannat. And while I'm in Jannat, I heard Nu'man radiallahu anhu reciting Quran in Medina, but it is heard in the heavens. So he narrates the dream to the Sahaba. Sahaba say, why? Nabi Sassam said, كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّ Because he was dutiful to his mother, Allah favored him so much that he used to read Quran in Medina and it was heard by the Malaika in the heavens. كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ Regarding two Sahaba, I read in the narration of Ibn Abi Dunya, Uthman radiallahu anhu and Nu'man radiallahu anhu. Nu'man radiallahu anhu is mentioned, he used to actually prepare the food, he used to prepare the clothing, he used to remove the lice from his mother's hair. He used to kana yafli ra'saha. He used to come and clean comb her hair. And then he used to prepare the food, feed his mother the food. And the same thing is mentioned about Uthman radiallahu anhu, the narration of Ibn Abi Dunya. Two sahaba who were extremely, extremely kind and dutiful to their parents. Allah speaks about Isa alayhi salam. Wa kana barran, regarding Yahya alayhi salam. Wa barran biwalidayhi wa lam yakun jabbaran asiyya. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا So that's the other side. My first message was on the parents to focus on love and affection. The second, we call very strongly on our youth to take the vision, to sit with their parents, take the blessings of the parents. Now, another very important thing, and I'm going to touch on a sore point here, on a sore nerve. And this had dawned upon me actually sometime in one counseling case, you know, somehow this message came through and it really spurred me onto thoughts. We must be honest with ourselves. We ask ourselves many questions. Sometimes we ask the wife, man, you know what, when you were pregnant with this child, what you did, man? Now I'm asking you honestly, man, I just can't understand what's happening here. As much as we camouflage our wrong from our children, our evil and our subtle vice is definitely going to have a negative impact on our children. My silent disloyalty, my private infidelity, my private evil, my haram dealings, I don't want my wife and children to know, but Allah is away. I'm saying my child is rebelling, but my act is not sorted out with my Allah. My act is not together. So we're exploring and exhausting all options on the front. You know, discipline him, admonish him, ground him, deny him, and this and that. But between me and my Allah, is my act all clean? Are my ducks in a row? I'm afraid not. إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ The pious, whenever they fail to accomplish their objectives, they examine their actions. And on that note also, as part of healthy dialogue, which is the focus of our talk, between parent and child, we have to be open to criticism, we have to be open to debate. I mean, the other day I was saying to someone, today the nature has become such that you cannot tell your children anything, everything you've got to negotiate. Everything is a negotiation. Alright, you do this, I do this. Okay, alright, how about this, then how about that? Everything is a negotiation. This is how the life has become, and this is how challenging and how volatile it has become. But as Muslim parents, at no point can we disown or excommunicate our children. Now this is something we need to understand. And I'm not saying that this is license for the youth to provoke their parents and anger their parents. No, don't get the wrong side of the stick. What I am saying is that Allah give them the hidayah to understand. But we cannot excommunicate, and we draw this message from the Quran, the incident of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, that when his children had rebelled against him, and make no mistake, they had committed 6 major crimes. They spoke a lie. They caused so much trauma to the father, it resulted in him losing his vision. They abducted and kidnapped their brother, a child, and then they sold him. The hadith of Bukhari, to sell a free human is a major sin. And then to eat the proceeds, the Quran said, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودًا وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ وَشَرَوْهُ And they sold him, بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ For a meager amount, دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودًا Few dirhams, narration suggests 20, وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ And the object was not really to make the money, but just so that they could get rid of him. So they commit 6 major crimes. Notwithstanding the major crimes, Yaqub alayhi salam does not excommunicate or he does not disown them. Dialogue continues to such an extent that after abducting one child and separating him from the father, according to the footnotes of Jalalain, 80 years. Yet the relation that continued with the parents, they still can come back to that very same father and say, you don't want to send the other son with us. Now if a son takes a car and he smashes him, you'll tell him, don't even dream looking at the keys in your dream. Never mind owning it. They take one son and abduct him, but the relation, they could still muster the courage and come back to the same father and say, I know we had a bad history with Yusuf, but how about Binyamin? Binyamin will be clean and clear. Now that speaks volumes. قَالَ لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِ مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ إِلَّا أَن يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ He said, must I trust you like how I trusted you before? I won't trust you. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا I trust Allah. Kaab Ahbar said, when Yaqub said, I trust Allah, Allah said, now I'll return Yusuf also to you. I will return Yusuf and Binyamin, and Allah brings them both back. So there has to be dialogue. A very common problem that we face in the relations is you know, favoritism towards the siblings, or as perceived by one child versus another. And that's when I mastered the methodology of Nabi alayhi salam, that he had 124,000 sahaba, and every sahabi believes that I am the closest. And I got 3 sons, and each one believes the next one is the closest. And you got 20 students, and each one feels that's the favorite of the ustad. And the Prophet ﷺ could master 124,000, that none believed the next one was greater. Each one understood, I have secured a different place in the heart. What was his profound methodology? So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he takes the reins of the Islamic empire, then he provided an allowance to all the Muslims. And in that allowance that he provided فرض لابنه عبد الله ألفا وفرض للحسن والحسين 5,000. He gave his son Abdullah radiallahu anhu 1,000 dirham monthly. And Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma 5,000 each. Now, understand, and sometimes from the eye of a child, we've got to appreciate it. So they engaged Umar radiallahu anhu. As profound as Abdullah ibn Umar was, but he was a human. And he said, oh my father, I don't understand your logic and I don't understand your rationale. أَمَا عَلِمْتَ سَبْقِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَهِجْرَتِي أَتُعْتِي كُلًّا مِّنْهُمَا 5,000 وَتُعْتِينِي 1,000 وَهُمَا مَا زَالَ صُبِيَّيْنِ يَلْعَبَانِ فِي تُرُقَاتِ الْمَدِينَةِ. Oh my father, you give me 1,000 from the national treasury, and very boldly you give my peers, in fact my juniors, not even my peers, my juniors Hassan and Hussein 5,000, when I embraced Islam and I migrated with respect to being the grandsons of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but honestly speaking, they were playing on the streets of Medina. So I fail to understand your logic. My point of contention and my point of debate here is that they perceived something to be unfair. They came forward. Umar radiallahu anhu entertained their question. He then answered it as he understood it. But he entertained it from the angle of the children. Now, I found this here. I don't know, unwittingly we do this or just that we are heedless about it. Many a times, a parent praises one child in the presence of the other. So I'm praising Huzaifa in front of Hamza or Hamza in front of Talha. Am I deliberately being insensitive to the emotions of that child concerned? Or am I just expressing it without understanding that I'm offending and encroaching on someone's feelings? So they came forward, and children are sensitive. You know, I always say the person to make your best islah is children. There was one brother who was very fond and used to keep a lot of muhabbat and affection. So his wife gave birth. And straight from the clinic, he came home. Newborn baby. And says, please, Maulana, you got to read and everything. So the children also came and said, now, Abu, why this uncle came straight? I said, no, it's a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when a child is born, you know what, you put something sweet in the palate and preferably a pious person. But you're not pious. I said, no, there you are right, my son. That you got to ask the uncle himself. That one that uncle is going to answer for you. Straight. I said, you are dead right. You are spot on. I can throw a talk here and thrill an audience. But for me to love a good father, that's a tale altogether. It's easy to impress an audience. It's easy to impress an audience. I don't know how many times I've said this of my wife, but I will say it again. You know, one day she was listening to one of my lectures, and then she says, oh, but you sound much more pious than you are. Not that she consciously listened, it was on radio, you know. You sound much more pious than you actually are. You play it well. The only person who conquered everyone was my master, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he could give blanket consent to his consorts and say, go and expose any aspect of my most private life. There's nothing that is blemishing about it. The most intimate moment of our life, you can go public with it. There's guidance in that also. Imagine, can any man tell his wife, go public with it? If she says, you know, if I must start speaking, you say, well, I also know. Your choice. If you know, I know. Okay, just let's leave it. How clean was the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The point I'm saying is Umar radiallahu anhu engaged. Umar radiallahu anhu accepted. And then he gave the rationale. He said, listen, my children, listen. I hear your sentiments. I appreciate your pain. It's not you versus Hassan and Hussein. Oh, look at Umar. It is your mother versus the mother of Hassan and Hussein. It's when I look at my wife with respect and your mother, and I see Fatima radiallahu anha, I just can't put them on one scale. And then I look at your grandfather, and I look at the grandfather of Hassan and Hussein. Hallaka jaddun ka jaddihima, aw ummun ka ummihima. If you have a mother like Hassan's mother, then take 5,000 dirhams from me also. If you have a grandfather like Hussein's grandfather radiallahu anhuma, then you can take 5,000. I hear your pain. I understand the discrepancy. I appreciate the imbalance. It's not a deliberate to deny you. And it's not you versus them. It's their grandfather versus your grandfather. I look at them and hence I give them what I give them. They were then obviously satisfied and they respected the sentiments. The point that is being emphasized here is we have to have healthy dialogue and appreciate the connotations. Sahaba ikram on the occasion of Hunayn, when some felt that, you know what, suyufuna taqturu dima'an wa yu'tal ghanimatu li ghayrina, wealth going to others, but blood dripping from our swords. Nabi alayhi salam gathered them and explained to them, don't make the basis of my love monetary. And he explained to them. So there was a thought that had crossed them, their minds and their heart. Now I want to share with you a very amazing incident that will give us a dual dimension of an amazing father and a unique son. And that is the incident of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. It's a bit of a long incident, but I'll try and condense it. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi and his son Abdul Malik. He had a minister by the name of Marwan. So Marwan goes to visit Abdul Malik, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi. فَوَجَدْتُهُ يَكْتُبُ رِسَالَةً إِلَىٰ إِبْنِهِ عَبْدِ الْمَلِكِ. He says, I went there and I found the father had taken out time and he was writing a letter to his son. I mean, in the day, let's pick up the phone. My son, where are you? Have you read your Zuhr Salah? Have you made your tilawah? Then you ask him, all right, what's the orders of the day? What's the commitments of the day? Have you done the deposits? Have you done the banking? Have you made these payments? Do we just start off on monetary? Have you read your Fajr Salah today? Is your tilawah in place? Can that be the first form of dialogue between parent and child? Allah make that a reality. So he's ruling over such a vast empire. And this is the letter he writes. فَوَجَدْتُهُ يَكْتُبُ رِسَالَةً إِلَىٰ إِبْنِهِ عَبْدِ الْمَلِكِ يَعِذُهُ فِيهَا وَيَنْصَحُهُ وَيُحَذِّرُهُ وَيُبَصِّرُهُ وَكَانَ مِمَّا جَاءَ فِيهَا قَوْلُهُ. He writes in there, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ أَحَقَّ مَنْ وَعَى عَنِّي وَفَهِمَ قَوْلِي لَأَنْتَ. O my son, from all my children, the one who has obeyed me the most and showed promise in talent, it is you. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْنَا فِي صَغِيرِ الْأَمْرِ وَكَبِيرِ. And Allah has been kind to us in small matters and big matters, in everything. فَذْكُرْ يَا بُنَيَّ فَضْلَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْكَ. So reflect constantly and perpetually over the favors of Allah on you and your parents. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْكِبْرَ وَالْعَظَمَةَ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَهُوَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. And I'm going to single out one melody and a spiritual melody, and I'm very concerned about this, oh my son. From time to time, I tend to get the perception of pride coming into you. Please keep yourself distance from pride. This is the trait of the devil, and the devil is obviously the open enemy of the believer. وَعْلَمْ أَنِّي لَمْ أَبْعَثْ إِلَيْكَ بِكِتَابِ هَذَا لِأَمْرٍ بَلَغَنِي عَنْكَ فَمَا عَرَفْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِكَ إِلَّا خَيْرًا غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ بَلَغَنِي عَنْكَ شَيْءٌ مِنْ إِعْجَابِكَ بِنَفْسِكَ. My aim and my objective is not to condemn you and ridicule you. I'm happy with you. I appreciate what you've done. But I've got the stench of pride coming out. وَلَوْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْإِعْجَابِ خَرَجَ بِكَ إِلَىٰ مَا أَكْرَهُ لَرَأَيْتَ مِنِّي مَا تَكْرَهُ. And oh my son, if you display this pride and you display this arrogance, then you're going to compel me to see another side of me which you don't want to see in a hurry. Then he looks at Maymoon, who was the minister. He said, إِنَّ ابْنِي عَبْدَ الْمَلِكِ قَدْ زُيِّنَ فِي عَيْنِي. You know my son Abdul Malik, wallah, I've become very fond of him. وَإِنِّي أَتَّهِمُ نَفْسِي فِي ذَلِكِ. And partly I am to be blamed for that myself. Not for the love, but what the love has led on to. What has it led on to? أَخَافُ أَن يُدْرِكَنِي مَا يُدْرِكَ الْآبَاء مِنَ الْعَمَى عَنْ عُيُوبِ أَوْلَادِهِمْ. I'm afraid that I have been gripped by the malady that grips an average father. And what is that? Blindness to the mistakes of his children. Al-waladu mabkhalatun, majhalatun, majbanatun. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Children make a parent coward. Children make a parent ignorant. Mabkhala, children make a parent become a miser. Why? Because constantly to spend on his children, he withholds from the right sources. In the defense of his children, he argues with those that are the well-wishers of his children. How often don't parents come in and engage the tutors and the spiritual mentor of that child? So many a times, al-waladu mabkhalatun, majhalatun, makes the parent ignorant. Majhalatun. So do me a favor, sir ilayhi. Maymoon, you go to my son. Wasbir ghawrahu. Ay wakhtabir haqiqatahu. And go and analyze his condition. Go and see his condition. فَإِنَّهُ غُلَامٌ حَدَثٌ لَآمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ He's a young boy. I don't consider him immune from the influence of the devil. I will bring this incident to a close, inshallah, and wrap up on that note. Anyway, he said, I prepared. فَشَدَدْتُ الرِّحَالِ إِلَىٰ عَبْدِ الْمَلِكِ I prepared myself and I go to Abdul Malik. قَدِمْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَاسْتَأْذَنْتُ I ask permission. فَدَخَلْتُ I enter. فَإِذَا غُلَامٌ فِي مُقْتَبَلِ الْعُمُرِ رَيَّانُ الشَّبَابِ بَهِيُّ الطَّلْعَةِ جَمُّ التَّوَاضُعِ قَدْ جَلَسَ عَلَى حَشِيَّةٍ بَيْضَاءَ فَوْقَ بِسَاطٍ مِنْ شَعْرٍ I see this young boy in the prime of his life, brimming with beauty, an embodiment of humility, sitting on a white straw mat, a very, very impressive look, and I was riveted by the sight, and it was very eye-catching. رَحَّبَبِي He welcomed me. أَجْلَسَنِي He set me down. He then looked at me and he said, لَقَدْ كَانَ أَبِي يَذْكُرُكَ بِمَا أَنْتَ أَهْلٌ لَهُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُ أَنْ يَنْفَعَ اللَّهُ بِكَ My father speaks very fond about you, and I hope that from our dialogue and our discussion, I will able to pick up a lot from you. So, Marwan said, I started breaking the ice and I started speaking with the boy. Today, how many times, it's a sad reality, that a boy at the age of 18 or 19, doesn't have the maturity to welcome his parents or his father's friends to say, Uncle, come inside, take a seat, can I offer you something? My dad is in the office or he's in the washroom or he's busy on a call, he will be with you in 5 minutes, how are you keeping? Does the auntie want to come in? Just common courtesy to welcome some senior person, human ethics and human morals would drive you to display that basic discipline, even this is absent. So I asked him, كيف تجنو نفسك? Oh young boy, how do you find yourself? He said, بخير من الله عز وجل ونعمة. I'm grateful to Allah. Allah has given me health, Allah has given me wealth, no complaints. غير أني أخشى أن يكون قد غرني حسن ظن والدي بي. There is one thing that disturbs me from time to time, and that is my father has got a very high opinion about me. And I'm far off the mark what he thinks about me. What did Umar ibn Abdul Aziz say? And what is the son thinking? Look at the commonness between father and son. Our commonness is in business only. وَأَنَا لَمْ أَبْلُغْ مِنَ الْفَضْلِ كُلَّ مَا يَظُنُّ And I'm far from the opinion that my father holds. فَأَكُونَ أَفَةً عَلَيْهِ I fear that I'm not as pious as my father perceives, and I mustn't turn out to be a liability to my father because I'm not so diligent. So anyway, Marwan said, I didn't mention anything, فَعَجِبْتُ مِنْ اتِّفَاقِهِمَا But I was really impressed by the common sentiments. The father is concerned that pride is setting into the child. The child himself concedes to the fact that there is a flavor of pride coming in. He admits to the fact that he's not so pious. His father has a very high opinion about him. Anyway, as part of discussion, the ball started rolling and we started speaking. So I said, أَعْلِمْنِي مِنْ أَيْنَ مَعِيشَتُكَ What's your source of income? You know, what do you do for a living? So, he said, مِنْ غَلَّةِ أَرْضٍ اشْتَرَيْتُهَا مِمَّنْ وَرِثَهَا عَنْ أَبِيهِ I had purchased the land from someone who had inherited it from his late father. وَدَفَعْتُ ثَمَنَهَا مِنْ مَالٍ لَا شُبْهَةَ فِيهِ And I had paid for this money with clean income. You know, I read an amazing quote of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, if you want to assess the income of a person, how pure it is, then see where he spends his money. That is a yardstick to measure how pure his income is. What did Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu say? If you want to analyze how clean the income of a person is, then see where he spends that money. فَإِنَّ الْخَبِيثَ يُنْفَقُ فِي الصَّرْفِ. Because tainted wealth will be spent in unlawful sources. So what is the yardstick? What is the benchmark to observe, to monitor, to identify the purity of the income? Where is that money going? That will speak volumes on how pure that income is. So I had purchased this land from someone who had inherited it. And I obviously receive revenue from it. And you know, with that I live. So I said, okay, that's fine. قُلْتُ فَمَا تُعَامُكْ. What's your basic diet? What do you eat? And so he said, basically there are three things. A young boy, يَوْمًا تَعَامٌ, يَوْمًا لَحْمٌ, one day I would have meat, يَوْمًا خَلٌ وَزَيْتٌ, sometimes I would have vinegar and I would have olive oil, and sometimes عَدَسٌ وَزَيْتٌ, I would have lentils and I would have olive oil. وَفِي هَذَا بَلَغْ, and that's about my variety. So, it's either I'm having, you know, meat, or I'm having, the Prophet ﷺ would take a piece of bread, dip it in vinegar, and he said, نِعْمَ الْإِدَامُ الْخَلُّ, نِعْمَ الْإِدَامُ الْخَلُّ. What a brilliant gravy is in vinegar. Now today, scientifically, you want to give us a write-up on how beneficial it is, but Nabi ﷺ would often dip his bread into the gravy, and he would eat it, and he also was very fond of thareed. This was an Arab delicacy, where they would take bread. One of my scholars one day, Allah reward him, he prepared the meal, and he called us home, and he said, you studied thareed in the hadith? This is thareed. In a simple way, basically, to take pieces of bread and to flavor it into the curry, into the gravy, and to eat it. And Nabi alayhi salam said, just as thareed is a delicacy over other foods, and it is superior to other foods, so is my Aisha superior to other women. Radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, just as thareed is a delicacy, and it enjoys prominence over other meals, so does Aisha radiallahu anha enjoy prominence over other women. Be it as it may, I then told him, I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to say it to you loud and clear. I hope you don't take offense. He said, no, please tell me. So Marwan said, I told him, I noticed that you've got a flavor of pride into you. You are a bit arrogant. Now in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, we learn that pride is such an evil that it becomes a barrier and an obstacle to every good. When a person is proud, he won't greet, he won't apologize. Why? Because this is against his nature. A proud man will not do it. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Al-kibru batrul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. Pride is to deny the truth even if you do it in a gentle tone. He said, no, he's very soft. If he's denied the truth, my brother, he's proud even if he's whispering. We've got our own perceptions and definitions of pride. What they say, you don't have to be loud to be proud and you don't have to mumble to be humble. Anyway, I said, you know what, I sense a bit of pride in you. So he said, قَدْ كَانَ فِيَّ شَيْءٌ مِّن ذَلِكَ قَدْ كَانَ فِيَّ شَيْءٌ مِّن ذَلِكَ فَلَمَّا وَعَذَنِي أَبِي بَصَّرَنِي بِحَقِيقَةِ نَفْسِي وَصَغَّرَهَا فِي عَيْنِي وَحَتَّ مِنْ قَدْرِهَا فَنَفَعَنِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِذَلِكَ فَجَزَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَالِدٍ خَيْرًا. He said, my father had detected this malady quite early. My father had detected this malady in me quite early. And he warned me, he cautioned me, he advised me, he set me down. And he said, my son, I see pride coming in you. That's a dangerous part you are threading. That is a dangerous part you are threading. You know, I mentioned this incident recently in one of my humble talks. Mufti Taqi Uthmani has written, and I read this myself. He said, when my father Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali passed away, I received letters of condolences from scholars across the globe. I received letters of condolences from scholars across the globe. And amongst the scholars that wrote to me, one was Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali wrote to me. So scholars wrote to me expressing their sympathies, their condolences. After all, his father was a giant and he was a great scholar. But amongst the letters that I received, one was Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali also wrote to me. And he said to me, Mufti Taqi, sympathies on the demise of your father. But I would like to caution you about one malady of the ego. And that is when you are the son of a great person, then your ego craves for the fame of your late father after his demise. I read this myself. Maymoon said, anyway, we continued speaking. فَقَعَدْتُ سَاعَةً أُحَدِّثُهُ وَأَسْتَمِعُ بِمَنْطِقِهِ. We got chatting. فَلَمْ أَرَفَةً كَانَ أَجْمَلَ وَجْهًا وَلَا أَكْمَلَ عَقْلًا وَلَا أَحْسَنَ أَدَبًا مِنْهُ عَلَى قِلَّةِ سِنِّهِ عَلَى حَدَاثَةِ سِنِّهِ وَقِلَّةِ تَجْرِبَتِهِ. I was impressed. A young boy, you know what, but profound, beautiful, striking, just amazing, and he was flowing. فَلَمَّا كَانَ آخِرُ النَّهَارِ. When it was close to the evening and the sun was setting, أَتَاهُ غُلَامٌ. A slave comes. He said, أَصْلَحَكَ اللَّهُ قَدْ فَرَغْنَا. Your Honor, we are done and the facility is at your disposal. He said nothing and the boy walked away. When the boy excused himself, I said, Abdul Malik, what was he alluding to? The facility is now available and you can use it. So he told me, Al-Hammam, it refers to the shower facility. أَخْلَوْهُ لِي مِنَ النَّاسِ. I had told him to vacate it, that everybody must leave, so that I could use the facility. So Marwan said, when he gave me that answer, I said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ وَقَعْتَ مِنْ نَفْسِي مَوْقِعًا عَظِيمًا حَتَّى سَمِعْتُ هَذَا. Look at the father and son dialogue. Allahu Akbar. You know what, boy? I had a very high opinion about you till I heard this. So Abdul Malik said, but what was so wrong about that? They have vacated the facility so that I can make use of it and I can go and take a bath and take a shower, and that's about it. So Marwan said, I asked him, Al-Hammamu lak? Does that particular shower and facility exclusively belong to you? He said, no, it doesn't belong to me. فَمَا دَعَاكَ أَن تُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنْهُ كَأَنَّكَ تُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ أَن تَرْفَعَ نَفْسَكَ فَوْقَهُمْ وَتَجْعَلَ لَهَا قَدْرًا يَعْلُو عَلَى أَقْدَارِهِمْ. What gives you the authority to tell everybody to leave? That's blatant arrogance. That you need the facility exclusively to your profile, because you can't use it in conjunction with other people. You belong to a super class, you belong to an elite class. What prevents you from frequenting the facility when other people are there as well? And by the way, people pay for that facility. So if you are shunning the other people, you're denying this man so much revenue. So the boy answers, أَمَّا صَاحِبُ الْحَمَّامِ فَأَنَا أُعْطِيهِ غَلَّةَ يَوْمِهِ. With regards to the money and the shortfall potentially of the owner, then I will give him the money of the entire day. So he won't, you know, even if at that few hours it's available at my disposal, but I would pay him for the entire day so he doesn't fall short. So Marwan said, I retorted, I said, that's arrogance speaking in you, because you got money so you think you can exploit. You can pay for anything, you can pay for any service. هذه نفقة صرف خالتها كبرٌ. This is pride speaking into you, and that's extravagance coming out of your wealth. Because your father's got money so you can pay for anything. So he said, the boy just kept quiet. He didn't say anything. I said, let me ask you an honest question. مَا يَمْنَعُكَ أَن تَدْخُلَ الْحَمَّامَ مَعَ النَّاسِ. End of the day, what stops you from using the facility with other people? I mean, you know, you're an ordinary mortal, you're an ordinary layman like any other person. He said, يَمْنَعُنِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ طَائِفَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ الْحَمَّامَ بِغَيْرِ أُذْرٍ فَأَكْرَهُ رُؤْيَةَ عَوْرَاتِهِمْ. The thing is, many people frequent the facility semi-nude and they are not clad adequately. And I hate, and I wouldn't want ever for my gaze to fall on the sitter of any person. Furthermore, I don't want to impose upon them that they must come dressed in a particular coat, because they will interpret that as exploitation of my political strength. The masses would read differently that, yeah, because I've got the political pull and the political muscle, so now I'm just doing things to soothe myself and to, you know, accommodate myself. So I don't want to impose any dress code, because they will interpret that as exploitation of my political power. Anyway, there was a moment of silence. And then he looks up and he said, اِذْنِي مَوْعِذَةً أَنْتَفِعُ بِهَا وَاجْعَلْ لِي مَخْرَجًا مِّنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ. I respect you, Marwan, and I know my father has great regard for you. Please show me a way out of this dilemma. I don't want to waste money. You say if I pay for the entire day, it's arrogance. If I frequent the facility with others, I'm being exposed to the sitter of others. And so am I told about the changing rooms of many of these gyms. I haven't been there and I don't want to be there, but so am I told that many of these places, unfortunately, people do not clad themselves adequately and a person is exposed to the sitter of another person. Now we know the hadith is very explicit. Nabi alayhi salam told Ali radiallahu anhu, لا تنظر إلى فخذ حي ولا ميت. Ali, don't look at the thigh of a dead man. Don't look at the thigh of a living man or a dead man. Scholars say if it is forbidden to look at the thigh of a dead man, Can you imagine how forbidden it would be to look at the thigh of a living female? Appreciate by extension, if this is the prohibition, you can understand how more intense would be and how more severe would the crime be. So I told him, "Intadhir hatta yakhruj an-nasu laylan wa ya'udu ila buyutihim." You know what you must do? Don't appoint anyone and don't delegate anyone to clear the facility. You wait. When everybody is gone at their pace and the facility is now vacant, then late in the night you go and shower. And if you can't wait, you don't have to take a shower and go and sleep. I said, "No, I appreciate it. La adkhulu al-hammam naharan abada." My word, I will never visit the place and frequent the venue in the day ever. And I would never ask them to clear the facility for myself. He pauses for a moment. And then with a tear in his eye, he says, "Marwan, aqsamtu alayk latatwiyanna hadha al-khabr an abi." I swear by Allah, whatever happens, and when you go back to my father, please don't mention this to my father. فَإِنِّي أَخْشَى أَن يَحُولَ الْأَجَلْ دُونَ الرِّضَى مِنْهُ. I don't want my father to hear anything unpleasant, and least he dies in that condition for me to have this burden on my heart. My father died unhappy with me. I cannot bear that. So whatever happens, don't mention this to my father. So Marwan said, I said, "No, wait, I'll get the mickey out of him. I'll get under his skin." I said, "Turidu an akdhib alayhi?" Okay, so then that basically equates, you want, I must lie to your father. I mustn't tell him this, which in simple language is that if your father asks me, "Hal ra'aytu minka shay'an," if my father asks me, "Did I see anything that needs to be reformed?" then I must say everything is in order, hunky-dory, no hiccups, oh, he's a brilliant boy. Everything running, you know, performing to optimum. He said, "No. What you do is, when my father asks you if you observed anything, then tell him, ra'aytu minhu shay'an, فَوَعَذْتُهُ وَكَبَّرْتُهُ فِي عَيْنِهِ فَسَارَعَ إِلَى الرُّجُوعِ عَنْهُ فَإِنَّ أَبِي لَا يَسْأَلُكَ عَنْ كَشْفِ مَا لَمْ تُظْهِرْ لَهُ." You tell my father, quite simple, tell him that I had certain observations and there were certain things that were objectionable and were questionable, but accordingly I advised him and immediately he repented. If you come across in this vague language, my father's nature is something he will never preempt and he will never probe anybody's flaws at any time. So if you don't spell out to him anything, he will never probe it to you. Marwan said, when I heard this, I had to conclude, "Lam ara walidan qattu wala waladan mithlahuma rahimahumullah." I've seen many fathers, I've seen many sons, I've never seen such an amazing union. Such a profound father, such a brilliant son. Now, this is what we need to develop. And on that last note, in fact, I just gave a dedicated lecture on this year. And unfortunately, this has become a very common malady where we just thrive on the flaws of others. It has become the topic of discussion for many people's supper table. You heard this one, you heard that one. Wait, just keep, this guy is gone. Put it on camera one. Wait, let's see what's... Have you got time, my brother? In Arabic, they say, "Kafa bil mar'i ayban." أَيَّسْتَبِينَ لَهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ أَوْ يَمْقُتُ النَّاسَ فِي مَا يَأْتِي مِثْلَ. It is sufficient to render a person wicked if he can smell the dead rat in the neighbor's yard, but he cannot smell the dead rat within himself. I get a foul smell, I get a stench. لَهُمْ عُيُونُ الْغُرَابُ وَشَمَّةُ النَّمْلُ. You can smell like an ant, my brother, but you cannot smell the dead rat in your own heart, in your own life, and you can see what that one is up to and what that one is up to. أَوْ يَمْقُتُ النَّاسَ فِي مَا يَأْتِي مِثْلَ. Or he shuns people for crimes that he commits himself. Oh, that man, he's got an evil. That man, you must first find out if he's sober, then you must talk to him. You must be careful if you eat by his house and make sure. Why? It's a long story. How clean are you, my brother? You shunning people for crimes you perpetrate yourself. What did Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i say? Al-mar'u in kana aqilan wari'a ashghalahu war'uhu an 'uyubi ghayrihi kama al-'alil as-saqim ashghalahu waj'uhu an waj' ashghalahu waj'uhu an waj' an-nas kullihim. He said, if a man is pious and he fears Allah, his piety will occupy him with his wrong, that it will make him heedless of the wrong of others. Like a sick person. Look at the medical metaphor he adopts. Walk into a trauma unit, Allah forbid, the person goes through surgery, whatever it is. When he recovers, you tell him, you know what, the patient next to you here, he recovered, he's discharged. He said, I don't even know who was admitted. I don't even know I'm in a clinic probably. You tell me of the patient next to me. I am so caught up in my pain, I don't know who came and who went. If I can feel the pain of others, that means I'm well. If I can smell the dead rat of others, that means I'm clean. Am I clean, my brother? What did he say? You tell my father in vague language, my father won't probe the flaws of any person. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He make us exemplary parents. And may Allah guide our youth. The late Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is to make 5 du'as in favor of children. And we make that same 5 du'as for our children and the children of the entire world. What 5 ayns. May Allah give them Umar. This was his first du'a. May Allah give them life. May Allah give them afiyat, good health. May Allah give them izzat, honor. May Allah give them ilm, knowledge. And may Allah give them amal, practice. This was his dua in the favor of children. Whenever anybody brought a child and requested dua, he used to make dua 5 ayns. May Allah give them umar, long life. Because if there's no life, there's nothing. And if there is life, but there is no good life, there isn't sound life, there isn't good health, then it defeats. So may Allah give them umar, long life. Then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them afiyat, good health. Then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them izzat and honor. May Allah give them ilm and may Allah give them amal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our youth, protect our youth, make them the coolness of our eyes. As we know, brothers, that alhamdulillah, the ijtima is taking place here. We see not only South Africa, but the entire African continent is rejoicing over the World Cup. You travel outside the borders of South Africa. Recently I've been traveling. Wherever you meet the Arab, oh, Sheikh, Ka'as al-Alam. Ka'as al-Alam. I learned the word World Cup in Arabic from people outside. I didn't know in Arabic what you say for World Cup. But so many travelers and visitors I met, then I put two into Ka'asun Cup, Alam World. Okay, World Cup. Right, alright. So we learn in Arabic like that. The whole African continent is rejoicing. Yeah, this is an ideal opportunity at our doorstep. We are hosting it. You know, yesterday I was listening to one brother. He gave his name. I said, mashallah. He said, 40 days inshallah from kickoff. 40 days in the Ba'dah of Allah from kickoff. Subhanallah. So this is an ideal opportunity. Let us put our shoulder to the wheel. We are hosting the occasion. How many lives will come? How many people's lives will change? This is an opportunity. A team spirit. A team spirit. I often say, if it's not for the opportunity of ijtima, when did we ever hold a brick for the deen of Allah? We might have funded many organizations, but when did we physically labor? When did we physically labor? Ask yourself honestly. We might observe, we might monitor, we might do some inspection over a site. But this is an opportunity to physically labor. Did not the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dig the trenches and say, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhira, faghfir al-ansara wal-muhajira. Oh Allah, this way I look, it's my muhajir, this way I look, it's my ansar. May Allah make it a success. May Allah make it a means of hidayat for not only for the Muslims, but for humanity in its entirety across the globe. Recite Durud Sharif. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma ja'al ijtima'ana hadha ijtima'an marhuma. وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اجعل أولادنا برا تقيا وأنبتهم في الإسلام نباتا حسنا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.